Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us, Lord, and we thank you for the opportunity to gather together and worship you. We certainly pray for our country, Lord, as we face this time of national testing. And Lord, it's important for us as Christians. Lord, we want to pass the test. We want to make great grades on the test. We want to be straight A on this test. So Lord, help us to use every opportunity that you give us, please, dear God, this week to share with someone about the love of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I wanted to be properly prepared to comfort our people and answer questions. The name of my message this morning is my greatest certainty in a time of uncertainty. And so I began to wonder myself, what is it that people are wondering about? You know, you hear a lot of, well, I wonder this and I wonder that and how long and what if. And you know what? There's a lot of questions and not many answers. And so in order to be properly prepared to try to, you know, bring a little peace and comfort in those areas of uncertainty, I polled our men and asked if they could give me some of the questions that they had, some of the areas of concern that they had as they face this crisis. Now, ladies, I will have to remind you before I go through these questions that these did come from the men of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, okay? Here's the first one. If I run out of food, where should I go, okay? That seemed to be a major concern for most of the men. Now, I have to kind of qualify this. It all depends on how desperate you are. If you're so desperate you'll eat anything, then here's the answer. You head to Don Mowry's house, okay? You go to Don Mowry's house. That man will always have something cooking on the pot. Now, it might be a squirrel, chipmunk, groundhog, muskrat, skunk, snake, turtle, and could even be the next door neighbor's cat, depending on how bad it gets. But that man will always have meat cooking on the stove. And so question number one, if I run out of food, where should I go? Don Mowry's house, okay? Number two, now this was a question that actually I had to stop and think about. What's that now? Drive-thru. All right. Brother Don's house is open, but for drive-thru or takeout only, okay? All right. So before you drive through his house, Brother Jeffrey, get a good run at it, all right? You're going to have to be going about 70 miles an hour, but you can make it through. Now, the second question caused me to pause a little bit. Makes you think. But it says this, what happened to COVID 1 through 18? Now, that is an interesting question, because if you think about it, it does stand to reason that if we're facing COVID-19 virus, then logic dictates there had to be a COVID 1, 2, 3, 4, you know. And don't you think at some point somebody in our government looks at that about 11 and says, we might have a problem developing here, you know. So I really don't know the answer to that question. Let me move to question three. This is important, folks. These are areas of uncertainty amongst the men at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Does this mean Jesus is coming back by June 1st? Now, I'm not sure why the person who submitted this question chose that particular date, June 1st. And to be honest with you, I don't care if he comes back before June 1st. That's not the date I'm worried about. I want to know, will Jesus come back before July 16th? You say, why July 16th? Because that's the next time I got to go see Dr. Mendoza and have my A1C checked. So if anybody knows when Jesus is coming back, and if he does come back before July 16th, I'm going to be pretty ticked, to be honest with you. I'm going to look and think, listen, if you know for sure he's coming back and this is the end time, this is it, and I'm not going to have to see my doctor again, I'm going to eat so much chocolate cake, I'm going to put myself in a diabetic coma. If I knew for sure the answer to this question before July 16th, I'd stop and there'd be a run on Three Musketeer bars down here at the Dollar General, but I can't really give you a biblical answer to that. I don't know the date. Here's an interesting question. What do you think will happen if our married couples get quarantined at home for a month or longer? So I did some thinking and praying over that one. I see three possibilities. There'll either be a rash of murders, a rash of divorce, or another blessed old baby, a Baptist church baby boom in about 9 months. Those are the possibilities right here, all right? Now, one man did text me in confidence. I'm not going to share his name. He texted me this. Dear Pastor, if I am made to stay at home for a month with my wife and I end up dying, please have the police investigate my death. I can promise you it wasn't the virus that did me in. So, again, I don't really have a definitive answer, but we're talking about areas of uncertainty that our men at our church are concerned about. Here was one that I had to do some thinking and praying and Bible study on this one. But the fifth question, now that Tom Brady has switched football teams, do I still hate New England or do I switch my hatred to Tampa Bay? And so, you know, we had to look at that. I called and consulted with a number of pastors on this, and we came to this conclusion. Let's make one thing perfectly clear. Whatever team Tom Brady is on, yes, you have to hate that team, okay? All right, but wait a minute. As for New England, remember this, that cheating little troll is still their head coach, all right? So the answer to your question is that you hate both of these two teams, all right? This is important stuff. I feel like we're bringing a peace to our church now. Number six, I don't know how much I'm going to answer this one at all. I'll read the question. Will Walmart honor their return and refund policy on toilet paper when this is over? There's so many directions I can go with this. No matter where I go, I'm going to get in trouble. So I'm going to give you my very short answer. No. No store in America should allow anyone to return toilet paper, all right? And then the last question, at least that I can read, is this one. Can I trade service time slots if I can strike a deal with another Blessed Hope Baptist Church member? All right. So, and some guys and gals were wanting to know that. So, you know what I say? Amen. Yeah, sure. You know, it's still America. If you can work a trade out, that's fine. I will tell you this. If you're dealing with a 9 a.m. person, then there should be some compensation to you, all right? I mean, don't just trade even. Get something out of them, maybe a can of SpaghettiOs, a box of 223 ammunition, or, again, we're back to toilet paper, so we'll move on. Now, I think I've proven this morning, so far, that there's a lot of grave uncertainties that we're facing in this day. But this morning's message is to remind you that in the midst of these uncertainties, there is one great certainty. I'm going to preach on this subject this morning, my greatest certainty in a time of uncertainty. This great certainty that I'm going to preach about is inarguable, it's infallible, it's inspired, and it's indestructible. Preacher, what is your greatest certainty in a time of great uncertainty? Please listen. Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ. That's what we read in this scripture. You say, preacher, you say it's our greatest certainty. How can you be so certain? I'm glad you asked. I got a 3-point outline. Here we go. Number one, because Jesus promised it on the pages of his word. What did we just read, folks? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Then there's a whole list of candidates that follow, but the conclusion says this, nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to say it plain this morning, folks. God's love trumps tribulation. God's love destroys distress and worry. God's love prevails over persecution. God's love feeds in a famine and pulverizes national perils and stays the sword. God's love demolishes demons and prevails over principalities, licks Lucifer and vanquishes all the varmints of hell. Listen, I want to say it to you this morning. God will take care of you because God loves you. It will care for you on the highest mountain and carry you through the lowest valley. There's not a creature visible or invisible that can separate you from the love of God. God's love will carry you through life And let me remind everyone here that it was God's amazing love that resurrected his son, Jesus Christ, from a borrowed tomb. Yes, God's love laughed at death that day. God's love shouted out, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" No matter what happens in life, I want you to be assured of this. Because of the love of God, you and I will win. We will be victorious. How about singing this with me? I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. Oh, I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Oh, I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Love that second one. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves. Sing it out now. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Preacher, how can you be so certain? Because Jesus promised it on the pages of his word. Number two, because he proved it on the top of Mount Calvary. How about John 15:13? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. When a man asks the question, what is the greatest evidence of genuine, agape, all-encompassing love? Here's a Bible answer. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now listen, this week, if there ever comes a point of a doubt in your life, or you're going through just a little stretch of depression, just go to the Gospels. Start in Matthew and Mark and then Luke and John and read all the accounts of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go and watch Jesus die. Go and look at the last hours of his life. That cat of nine tails screamed out, "He loves you." Every thorn that pierced the brow of our Creator screamed out, "He loves you." The crash of every blow he received while blind and buffeted hammers out the answer, "He loves you." Every curse and blasphemy hurled by the angry mob echoed back, "He loves you." Every footfall as he walks the path up Golgotha cries out, "He loves you." The ring of every hammer strike as it drives into his body, iron spikes, echoes out across eternity. He loves you. Every drop of blood that was splashed at the base of an old rugged cross heralds out, "He loves you." In his words, we find his love as he first cares for his mother. Then he promises a repentant thief paradise. And then you know what he does? He cries out forgiveness for his tormentors. And then proclaims for time and eternity that salvation for all men has been purchased. When he said, "It is finished," you know what he might as well have said? "See, I proved it to you. I love you." Think about that, folks. There will never be a sweeter story. Story of the Savior's love divine. Love that brought him from the realms of glory. Just to save a sinful soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me? I can be certain, you can be certain of God's love because he promised it on the pages of his word. He proved it on the top of Mount Calvary. And number three, because he's preparing you and me a mansion in heaven one of these days. Don't you love these words? Don't they help you? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Why? In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Preacher, how do you know that God loves you? Because he wants me, think about this, to live with him forever. He's preparing a place for me. He's preparing a place for you. Let's sing together. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by grace we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. I want everybody here, as you leave the place just a little while here, to go home with one great heart assurance, and that's this: God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. Then I want you to take that message, and I want you to take it out into every circle of influence you have and share it throughout this week. Hey, God loves you. Jesus Christ loves you. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would bless our people today. And Lord, thank you so much for this gathering, this particular hour, this particular group of people, and what we felt and what we've experienced. And Lord, thank you for the knowledge of your presence amongst us. It's exciting to know where two or three are gathered together in my name. There I am in the midst. Lord, I do pray, dear God, for our nation. Lord, we face uncertain times. But as Christians, there are things that we are not uncertain about. And thank you so much for your great love. Lord, bless each of our church family, dear God. Lord, watch over them, especially those, dear God, that are our elderly folks or those that are in somewhat of a high risk or suspect health. Lord, we pray that you'd watch care over them in a special and wonderful way. And Lord, as we have this time of invitation, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd speak to our hearts.